What up, though? It's your boy CB. That's Chillby, and this is the Chill Bravado Podcast, where I give you a series called Lakers 82-16, where we cover the grind of an 82-game long season where it takes 16 wins to get the chip in the end. We are at the All-Star break. I just want to step in real quick, and we're going to go straight into a conversation that was being had between D'Angelo Russell on his podcast with Anthony Davis. So we're just going to get right into it. So right now, tune in and hear what they got to say, and we'll come back after that. Just letting you know, be mindful of the language that they use while they're having this conversation. If your ears are sensitive, I advise you to, you know, handle yourself accordingly.
We played y'all in New Orleans. I was in Brooklyn. I was cooking. This is when y'all had, it was you, Drew, and Elfrid Payton.
So Rondo went there then?
Nope, that was your last year.
Yeah, probably. So it was me, Drew, Elfrid Payton, Julius Randle, yep. Darius Miller.
Yep.
Etwan
Moore, maybe. Etwan
was there.
Yep.
Solomon Hill was there.
You remember, bro, we played y'all, right? Jared Allen was the lob threat, mm-hmm. So he always rolled.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the one time, I think I hit a three. You was up on the screen. Came off the shot. It just went, not that, but it went up. I hit a three first.
Uh-huh.
Went up. You were so close to blocking it, and I was like, damn, I made that shit. Later on, come back down. I think it was like the end of half or something. I come up. I'm about to shoot it up. I throw the lob to J.A. Mind you, y'all, I'm at the three-point line, yeah. About to shoot a three. He is up. This dude runs back and deflects. You remember that,
yeah.
Shit? I think I said it to you before,
yeah,
but like,
yeah.
That's when I was like, bro, that shit is crazy to me. Like, you, how do you guard both?
it's
nutty.
Just, like, right? Just gifted athlete,
yeah.
Right there. So I
like
can't explain that.
And it's a lot of times where I feel like a lot of coaches don't trust my defensive, like, say-so in a lot of schemes. Like, I feel like pick and roll should always just be 2-on-2.
For sure.
Like, with me in it.
Yes.
I can do both. Bro, I can stop the guard from coming off the shoot, and if he thought I can get back.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm so special of a player.
Facts.
Defensively that it fucks teams up.
Facts.
But you have to, like, just trust. Like, if I say, like, let's do this, just let's do it.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And it allows the two players playing pick and roll to play, and now you don't have to worry about helping and you getting, you know,
burned on threes
or back cuts and all. Like, you don't have to worry about that. And that's all we did, like, in New Orleans. It was just like, hey, 2-on-2.
So, 2-on-2, right? So, like, I went to Golden State, and I always wondered what it was about Draymond defensively that gives him his niche. And what I seen was, no matter where he was at on the floor, he was the low man.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm about to go. You rotate.
Yep.
And he'll go from the top of the key, be the low,
yeah,
man. And I'm like, as our team, obviously we do high wall, we do all these different counters, but like, what if AD on the floor is the low man no matter what, and we just scramble out of that shit?
Yeah.
You know how hard that would be, bro? If,
yeah,
we
just, I think,
attack?
Just like with our team now, especially our starting unit, we just like small.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So like, say tomorrow, like we play Brooklyn, right? Nick Claxton.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm doing that, you low. You ain't got no chance to make clap. Like, if it comes off, like, unless you get to his legs early.
Right.
You know, some shit like that. But, like, I like being a low man, because now it discourages
everything.
The offensive player. Like, I'm not going to.
Even
going
if you don't
there.
Go, though. Even,
yeah.
If you, even if he beats me from the top, if he beats AR from the top, and I'm the crackback, but you went, you don't even have to go block. You can just show that you going.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, everybody going to see,
yeah,
you cut. And
yeah.
It's like,
My. That is just a conversation that they had on the Backyard Podcast. That's D'Angelo Russell's, D'Lo's podcast, when he went and visited Anthony Davis at his house, AD's house, and they sat back and they just talked, man. So I wanted you guys to hear that clip and just kind of understand what they're saying about defense. And if you're a younger listener or you have sensitive ears, I apologize for all the language, but I just felt like that was an important part of the conversation. And what are we saying here? Who are we talking to? And I love the conversation and just what they was able to put, you know, put on, you know, out in the air. I was loving the conversation they was able to put on tape, you know, like it's an old VHS, but put on the screen and allow us to listen to how they're thinking and what they're thinking about. And we're talking about defense. Okay, that's great, right? When you have one of the best defensive players that we've had in this league and probably the first, second, our third, or wherever you want to see him at, best defender in the league right now, currently. So, man, could you imagine if, you know, we didn't play that 3-on-2 style? Excuse me. It's just, and I think we would not get burned on so many of those corner threes or so many of those while we're scrambling to recover from that. Guys who are playing. You know, they're playing half, you know, they're playing their man and half over. And it's just they're playing help from one pass away. It's just all these different situations where I just feel like we've done better as of late. But it's just puzzling that we would rather give up open corner threes, especially when we're playing this style. But you know what I do respect is that these guys are not going rogue and doing it on their own. So when I get so mad at AR and Prince and even LeBron at some parts of the game for giving up the corner threes or the one pass away threes, I know they're running the scheme that they're being told to get, you know, told to do. So AD, I kind of agree with him. With most teams, why not just do 2-on-2? Why not trust AD to make those, you know, because it's probably not going to be every trip down the court. I don't think we should do that every trip down the court just because you want to not fatigue AD, because he already plays a ton of minutes and you got to respect him. And people who try to, like, you know, call him soft and all those things have been quiet for a while now. They're just waiting to see, you know, how he responds to the big matchups. Unfortunately, Joel Embiid has gone down, so we won't see that one for a while. And he played well against the Joker. So it was kind of like, well, they lost, but, you know, AD, it wasn't because of AD. And nobody said, oh, LeBron needs some help. So, you know, it was good to see him play well against the Nuggets, even though we lost and we couldn't close it out. And those guys just figured out this formula. And we're going to talk about some of the top teams and just some of the rosters in general today. This is not really like a Laker 82-16, like original type format. We're going to be talking about other teams. This is the All-Star break. I'm taking a break, and we're going to talk from a Lakers perspective. But we're going to make sure we, you know, talk about some of these opponents that we have and do like a player evaluation of our team. Like, we're going to go player to player, which would probably be fun for me and probably fun for you if you are into those type of things. And then I'll go down and listen and talk about, you know, my thoughts on each team from 1 to 10 of each side. You know, my honest opinion, whether it's very informative or not. I have some things to say about each team. So, yeah, man, I just wanted you to hear that AD and D'Angelo Russell and his friends, his guys on the Backyard Podcast talking about Anthony Davis, talking to Anthony Davis about defense. We're talking about defense, people. We'll be right back. All right. We are back, and I'm about to go through each conference. I'm going to start with the Western Conference. I'm just going to go down the list from top to bottom as the standings right now and just give you my quick, you know, not detailed view on these teams as I see them right now and the threat they are. Maybe I might get into a little bit of that and how I feel like the Lakers are doing a playoff matchup against these guys. We'll talk about that right now. So let's start with the Western Conference. I want to make this quick. It's All-Star break. I want to, you know, kind of have something before it break starts out on tape, you know, I said tape again, but it's all good. And just, you know, out so we can have something to kind of think about, you know, while we have a break and enjoy the All-Star weekend or get ready to complain about it. You know, whatever we do this weekend, let's just have fun doing it. If you're complaining, be funny with it. Be creative. Don't just say the same old thing. If you love it, you know, let's talk about what you loved and what you think should be, you know, updated. But without further ado, the Minnesota Timberwolves. When I think of them, I think of two things. I think of Ant-Man first, I think of Rudy Gobert second, because Rudy probably is going to get another defensive player of the year, which I don't agree with. I think he's not better than Anthony Davis as a defender. He's a defensive anchor. He's one of the, you know, key guys there. And when I think of Ant-Man, I just see a guy who's just oozing and blossoming, and he's just like, he wants it. His whole swagger, his attitude, everything that he has to offer, it's just leaking on his team. It's amazing. Okay, it's amazing. So I think very highly of them. I would love to see them stay in that top seed, you know, just because that Minnesota crowd and the fan base would just go crazy by having these home games there. And they already last year was really excited about the young fella, and now he's really emerging after playing, you know, Team USA and the FIBA and all that good stuff. So I'm really looking forward to see what he does in the playoffs. That's what I want. Is I want to see Ant-Man in the playoffs, because he's proven is that he's going to be locked in for most of the year, and he's going to play at a high elite level. And we've played against him twice. We played them close, and at the end of the game, he was able to make some plays to help keep us at bay. At the end of the game, they were able to make some timely stops. We haven't really faced them with our full head of guys, but it's all good. They still got their wins, and I just feel like if we were to play them in the playoffs, I would be curious to see, like, when we locked in, like, how long would they be able to play Cat and, you know, and Rudy at the same time, and what activity would we be willing to, you know, do about their size? Because they're definitely going to be bigger than us and longer than us. So that means, like, okay, what is AR going to do? What is D-Lo going to do, you know, defensively? So Timberwolves would be a tough matchup, but they're young. So I would be curious to see how LeBron and AD would try to, you know, match that, because I feel like them having so much success, the pressure is going to be on them now to say, we can't just go to the second round. You know, they need to make it known that they're going to have to make it a playoff run, and just to keep this upward you know, positioning, they're going up and pointing up, and it's a bright future. It'll really help the fan base if they go out and have a good playoff run. So T-Wolves definitely a danger. They're legit right now top defense in the league, I think. OKC, fun to watch. Going to be a problem for certain matchups. I feel like they lack the versatility. They don't have the ability to go big. They have, you know, Chet, who's in there, who's going to, you know, block shots and do all these things. But we've seen him, you know, get handled by Anthony Davis. We know he's not going to be consistently going to be able to be, you know, handling LeBron, Rui, and Anthony Davis coming downhill, and, you know, and maybe we can bring in the energy of Jackson Hayes and all this and putting that pressure on him. So all you got to do is get two fouls on him, but now they're going to have to figure out what are they going to do. They're going to play small, and that's cool, and I like that. But I think OKC is a very good team, a capable team. They can outscore you. So if they catch you on a night where you cannot score, and the Lakers have one of those nights where they can't score, OKC can definitely pose a problem. But they're probably the team that I would feel most comfortable playing if we were to come out of the play-in tournament and be one of those bottom two seeds. OKC is a team I'm not really worried about. I'm less worried about them than I am T-Wolves, if that helps. So, you know, Shea is always going to be able to get his. But if we get Vando back healthy, or Cam Reddish, or, you know, just any of our defenders right now who are out, I feel confident knowing that we'll be able to, you know, put them down. You know, put them down. Sounds bad. The Clippers are a team that's very deep, very long. You got defenders and length all over the court. You got versatility. You got enough size where they can pose, you know, Zubac and Plumlee. You know, both of them are back healthy. They have enough size. You got, you know, Westbrook, who is looking to come into the playoffs against his, you know, former team if they were to meet and would really want to play well. And Norman Powell, who's just the microwave version in 2024. This guy, just a bucket. You know, other night against the Golden State Warriors, he was amazing down the stretch. Kawhi's health is going to be something that you look at, even though I think they say it's not serious, whatever the injury is he's having. PG and James Harden, I got to see them in the playoffs. And let's see if we were to meet them, how early would it be? And if we meet them late, that means they're playing well. So they're a team who can very well just out, you know, talent us if it comes down to it. But if they remain to be a jump shooting team and they have a couple guys who are just off, we can beat them. I mean, that's just how I feel about it. But if they're on their game and they have their shot falling, that's something that we can't recover from that as of right now if they're just on, because we're gonna need some things to go our way. We're gonna need to be able to control what we can control, which is going downhill, putting pressure on the rim. The free throw line disparity must continue, of course. Like we have to definitely have all of our hands on deck, so hopefully we'll be healthier then. And the Clippers definitely pose a threat, so they're one of the teams that you don't want to meet early. If we're, you know, being honest, but not a team that I shy away from, you know, being scared of. Denver sitting right after them. This is the team that we know knows how to beat the Lakers. We haven't beat these guys in like the last 7 or 8 tries. They're the only team I think that still has the ability to sweep us. Like, I don't think any other team is that focused to do it. I don't even think this year they would sweep us this year if we were to play healthy, but I just don't know if we have enough, you know, chemistry and camaraderie to be able to beat them 4 times in a series yet, because they have, you know, this is a different tune than I was singing the last couple of years, because I just never believed in Denver. But then last year they put together this string of shooting and chemistry, and Joker really orchestrated that and just controls the game in a very different way than we're used to. But I definitely, just being stubborn, would love to see what we would do with them in another matchup, another run. But we know how that might turn out just because of history and what have you done for me lately. So I get that. And the Suns are a team that I look at and I think to myself, okay, the Suns, if they get hot, they can beat anybody. But if they're missing or their team is, their role players not role playing, then you can beat them, you know? And I feel like we have enough that we could actually pose a problem for them. I don't know how healthy they're going to be if we meet them, but I'm not scared of the Suns. I actually don't mind the matchup. I know they have star power, but let's see how that star power has to do when they have to defend, like for real, like, you know, let's see how that works. Not really afraid of that at all. So it's just really just the Suns. If they make shots and they outshoot you, then they're going to win games. So not really. It won't be a secret to why they will win if we play them in a playoff series. The Pelicans, I don't fear it at all in the playoffs. I think we can match that physicality. They will have to be hitting their 3 ball at a better clip than it was against us last time. Zion will have to be healthy and locked in, and B.I. I mean, I was worried about them last time we played against them without Vando, but then, you know, now that I see that Zion goes for 30 in that game and B.I. kind of played the Robin, I was thinking to myself, like, if only one of you guys gonna get off and then we can shoot the ball with some type of consistency and get to the rim, I'm not really worried about it, you know? And that's just how I feel about the top guys. So now we're gonna go into the play-in guys, and right when I get back, we'll talk more about that. All right, we are back. Chill Bravado Podcast, Laker 8216, All-Star Break Edition. We're just talking about how I feel about the teams that are, you know, right around us. Now we're going to the play-in tournament guys at this moment. The Dallas Mavericks, I feel like they will play themselves out of the play-in tournament, because I haven't got a chance to see the new look Dallas Mavericks, but just looking at what they've been able to put together, they're a team that has gotten better after the trade deadline, and I feel like they're trying to go for it now. Now, when I say that, I don't know how good this team would be in the playoffs yet, because I haven't really got the chance to watch it and see, like, nitpick and see the flaws they may have, but I'm curious to see, like, man, like, Luka, Kyrie, and then you add in these lob threat guys and you know, Tim Hardaway Jr., he's on the heater against us for most games, and you know, in Green, I'm impressed with what they've been able to put together. But we'll have to see it. I mean, I have to see it in the playoff series. I have to see what can you exploit? So I'm definitely a team that I'll be looking at on League Pass from after the All-Star break will be Dallas, because I want to see them. I want to know more about them. I want to see the ups and the downs. I want to see, like, where is the weakness with this new team? I mean, I think I know, but I'm going to watch and look out for that team. So that's a team who is incomplete right now. I haven't got a chance to watch them. Then you have us. Oh, no. Then you have the Kings. And the Kings right now are a team that's spiraling down, down, down from last year. We're not talking about them as much because they – and then they just beat, like, Denver the other night, which is, like, random. So it's a good team in there somewhere, but it's very inconsistent. And I was never a fan of Sabonis at the five. Just not a fan of him being your five because he's not a rim protector. And I still feel the same way about this team. I mean, not just because they're losing, but last year, even though they had a good record, I was always like, Sabonis is your five. I don't really trust you in the playoffs. Not really my cup of tea there. They don't have any versatility. They come across like that, like OKC to me, like one trick pony. If they do it well, they'll beat you. If you make them have to change up, then you're probably going to be all right. Just keep the game where Fox is not going to be able to, you know, exploit you in the fourth quarters when he starts going into clutch time. Then you have us. We'll talk about us later. Golden State Warriors, they wrap up the 10, and they've been on a good, you know, streak right now. They lost one in between there to the Clippers. They blew it, but then they turn around and had a good win to close out the All-Star break. So this is a team that in the play-in tournament, I feel like they'll be able to beat you one time. So, yeah, I think they can easily, if they keep doing this and going up, they can find themselves in the play-in and then get in the playoffs in the eighth seed. And, oh, how I would love to see, you know, T-Wolves against Golden State or OKC versus Golden State or Clippers versus Golden State. But I would really love to see the Nuggets go against Golden State just because, I don't know, I just want to see. Can Curry put on some magic in against that team? Or will, you know, and just win one, you know, or two. I feel like if they were to play against Denver, they would not get swept like we did. Because we just didn't have the guns. We didn't have the lasers to shoot with them. Golden State doesn't have anything else to compete with them with, but they have the shooting and they have the athleticism. So I want to see Golden State, even though they are very small, go up against Denver in the playoffs if they were to make it in. And now switching over to the East, you know, I go through them fast because nobody cares about the East over here. It's all about the West, you know. But the Celtics, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday. I don't know if anybody in the East has anything that can match that. You know, I don't know if you have any three, your top three guys, you know, can they go up against those three guys? Can your 1-2 and your 3 face that, you know? 1-2, well, I guess you can call 1, 3, and 4. Like, I don't know. Jason Tatum is 4 now, 3, whatever. Those three guys. So who do you got to defend him? Okay, and then you have Derek White, who's the ultimate professional role player. And then, of course, you got, you know, the unicorn back there. So I feel like Boston is just, with no Embiid, it's going to be a tough, tough push against them. And I was just talking to JR. I was like, man, what will we do against that? AR, D-Lo, hopefully Vando will be back, but like that'll be a tough matchup for the Lakers. But in order for us, if we were to see them, they would have to be in the finals. And that means both of us are playing very well. And then by that time, I'm probably betting on us. You know, I'm not really worried about them. If we made it all the way through Denver and all those guys, then we've seen it all. Cavs haven't seen enough of them, especially now that I think they're getting some guys back. I'm hearing, you know, Donovan Mitchell is playing out of his mind, you know. So they're incomplete for me. I don't know how long they can keep up this. They smacking folks, man, every time I see them. So we'll see how that goes. The Bucks, defense has been, you know, I remember saying, man, you know, get them time. But then I was like, but their depth at the wings and their small guards, you know how I feel about small guard pairings. Beasley can shoot 40% all he wants, but he can't defend. And him and Dame time is lame time when it comes to the defensive end. So the worst thing that could happen to them is that when they traded Drew Holiday, somehow he ended up getting to Boston. That was like the worst thing ever. Because now it's like, if they were to meet, it would be a wrap. Okay. So, and the Knicks, if they get healthy, I think they can make noise and they can probably beat the Bucks and the Cavs and the 76ers without Joel Embiid. So the Knicks are a team I'm definitely watching. I'm not going to talk about the Lakers facing them because these are all what had to be finals. So I'm not really worried about them. talking about that aspect. Pacers, I'm like, nah, on. They're just going to score, and Tyrese is going to be fun to watch. Not really. I'm not really concerned about them. I want to see them make the playoffs, but I don't really see them doing anything. They might be another player away or just, I mean, lightning in the bottle, and then that's it. I don't really have a lot to say about the Pacers. I never really got on board with the, you know, oh my God, how great the pace is they play and da-da-da-da-da. Early in the season, after that in-season tournament, I haven't really paid attention to the Pacers except for what Tyrese is doing. And then when Pascal got there, but not really a fan of it. Don't really care. They don't play defense. The Heat are the Heat, so I feel like if they get in the play-in, they're dangerous. If they make it to the playoffs, Boston probably is like, nah, don't play us in the first round. Well, even if we win, they don't want them problems because the Heat are a playoff-built team. They're not a 10, you know, not a dime piece. They're like a respectable 6, you know. But that 6 can cook, and that 6 can clean, and that six will take care of you when you're sick. So all the other little things and the intangibles that 6 have equates and surpasses a 10. So baby, Miami still, you know, a dime piece in somebody's eyes, baby. Anyways, on the Magic, I like them because of their size and just their ability to play big. But I don't know how they'll play in the playoffs because then it's like they still play like a, you know, AAU style basketball, but they can get downhill, they can shoot it a little bit. Don't know. Very young. I would love to see them in the first round and get the Celtics. Just so we can see that size go up against the Celtics. That'll be fun to watch. The Bulls and the Hawks we're just waiting on them to be a dumpster fire and just break it and blow it up, baby. JR style. Blow it up. So I don't really have much to say about them either. Just looking ahead at our next games in February, the rest of the season. We're going to Golden State. We're at home against the Spurs. We go to the Suns. We have a quote, air quote, away game against the Clippers. Then we have the Wizards. So I feel like Golden State, you know, they're trying to build momentum just like we are. So that game, first game back, is gonna be such a big time game because, man, they can win that game, you know. But I just feel like we have to come in and start the All-Star break. After the All-Star break, come out and we got to start, you know, on a high note. So let's go ahead and smack them, and we have a back-to-back, and then we play against the Spurs, and let's make sure that we play that because I want to see AD against Wimby. Because, we know, last time we played against them with AD, AD kind of put the young fella in the rim. But Wimby's been playing a whole lot better, but he only plays a certain amount of minutes. So as long as they don't get hot from three again and do nothing silly and goofy like that, we should take care of business of that. And then the next test will be the Suns. Bradley Beal, hurry up and get back. Because I want to play against this team again in full strength. And I know we're probably not going to be full strength, but we need to feel that so we'll see and, you know, put some stuff on tape, man. Like CDs, collecting data. That's what CD stands for. I want to collect data. If I'm a coach, I want to see them in full. I want to see their rotations, all that good stuff. Then we got another back-to-back where we are, quote, at Clippers. And then we play against the Wizards. So, you know, right now, if we beat the Clippers here, we'll win the season matchup against them for the first time in a long time. And we're here for a long time, baby, not a good time. But it'll be a good time if we were able to come in and beat the Clippers. So going over that stretch, I love to see 1 win, 2 win, 3. Once again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's 5 games. Why not go 3-2? You know, let's go 3-2. And then when the month of March come, that's going to be the problem. So when we come back, we're going to put that to bed and worry about that. I'm going to go do my player evaluation of the Los Angeles Lakers so far real quick because I'm tired and ready to go. All right, we're about to get ready to get out of here. But first, I'd like to thank you guys for tuning in and hanging in there with this Laker 82-16 All-Star Break Edition. And when you're done listening to this, make sure you slide over, subscribe, like, and just follow the All Things Sports Podcast with my boy JR, where he breaks down the world of sports. Trust me, he'll have something to say about a lot of the teams. You know, NBA is really there, so he really has a lot to say about that. He had his Super Bowl recap, as I told you he would. He did a good job on that. Now I'm ready for him to lock in and give us all the MLB type of situation that's going on here, and then lock in and give us his NBA analysis where he breaks down the world of sports. And you know, he tries not to talk about the Lakers, but I encourage him to do so. Why? Because if the Lakers are in the conversation, we're talking about champions and winners, baby. I'm talking about historically. So check out JR in the All Things Sports Podcast. Now, let's get to the player evaluation and how I feel about these guys moving forward. You know, are just what we've seen so far. So here we go. Austin Reeves, you know, everybody going to say, oh, slow start, you know, because he played in, the USA games and stuff. Came off the bench, you know, now in the starting lineup. And with all that going on, I feel like AR is playing very well. His passing is getting better. He's still not the passer D'Lo is, but I'm definitely impressed with his ability to play the pick and roll with LeBron. His ability to now, you can tell they're figuring out the five-out scheming, because he's throwing passes now that he was not throwing in the beginning of the year. Notice I keep talking about passing, because his ability to stay efficient with his scoring and shooting, but still distribute the basketball, on the defensive end, he just has to stay respectable, because once again, guys are going to just try to go through him, because he's 6'5", but he's only 206, and not a sturdy, strong 206. So yeah, I think this is something we have to deal with. If Vando was still healthy, I think we could band-aid that, but he's not right now. So I give Austin Reeves a good grade, man. I'm loving what I'm seeing from him as of late. You know, these guys putting the ball in the basket, and I think him doing it efficiently is always going to be a win-win for us. Well, that means he's not taking shots away from the real flamethrowers, you know. Torian Prince, this guy is probably the one player that most fans really don't like. It is not his fault. Darvin Ham has played him 30 minutes, for a lot of the season, and fans are like, my God, why is Prince on the court? But Prince is now coming off the bench. He's 6'6", he's 218. He's more of a 3-2, like that type of guy. He can play down, he has no business trying to guard the Kevin Durant of the world and Laurie Marketing of the world. But when guys are hurting out, again, he has stepped in and just done his job. He doesn't always, do things that are to my liking, but he tries hard. And I feel like now that he's in a limited role, it's okay. Like, this is what we want. If he plays 20 minutes, you're fine with that. 15 to 20 and 25 minutes if people are hurt. You're fine with that. Just not 30, not 32. Like, we don't want to see that, because he's going to score 9 points in 30 minutes. It's going to piss a lot of fans off. So Torian Prince right now, for coming off the benches, I'm fine with. Coming off the bench is fine. AD, right now, defensive player of the year, in my opinion. If we were higher in the rankings, he'd be in the MVP conversation, but we're not, so I'm not going to get into that. He's only missed like 3 games, and it's just good to watch and see him healthy. I hope that continues, because now we're going to get into the stretch of the season where we're going to need everything from AD. AD and what he brings to the table is what's going to keep us moving forward in the playoffs. And not just the regular season, but we're only going as far as, quote, LeBron takes us, but we're only going to the deep water as far as AD takes, if you get what I'm saying. D'Angelo Russell, D'Lo, D-Smoke, Trayline D'Lo is still here. D-Smoke is right now the flamethrower. He's on the heater. His assist game, after having his career-high 17 assists against Utah, with no LeBron there, the playmaking is inevitable. We see what he's able to do. Really loving what we're getting out of him. I really want to see this guy win and play well. And I want us to get to the playoffs, and let's see if he can keep this energy going when you're playing against the top of the cream of the crop, the elites and all that, whatever you want to call them. Because if we do get there, we're going to be at the most a 6th seed, at the minimum a 7 or 8, and at the lowest a 9th or 10th. And then, of course, at the bottom, it's just missing the playoffs entirely. And something went terrible wrong if that happens. But I want to see D-Smoke, the flamethrower D-Lo, just continue to carry on with what he's doing. He's not going to shoot as great as he did all season, but that's okay. We just need him to continue to be aggressive and really putting the pressure on the defense and dropping the ball off. He's the guy who gets Anthony Davis the ball just as well as LeBron James does. So I really appreciate what he's doing. Christian Wood, spot minutes here and there. He doesn't really get the flash or show anything special. He gives us a versatility where a guy who can step out on the perimeter and shoot it as a big. He goes up and down with that. He's not always going to be hitting at a high clip, but we need a guy who can take it. He helps us on the boards on some nights in certain matchups. He gives us a guy who we can put on guys. He's not very fast, but his length and he knows how to play with it, and his ability to extend and really contest guys, it works when he's locked in and actually given minutes. He's not the quote, I hate people say cancer in the locker room, which I just don't like that phrase, but he's not what they made him out to be. We haven't seen him be this guy who just pouting and moping. You can see he knows that he has to be a good teammate and play well if he wants to continue to stay in this league. So I don't think he's done anything to pull himself out of the minimum contract thing yet, but which is fine, you know. And I feel like it's just only a matter of time before we see really if he's gonna get any real minutes in the playoffs. I don't think he's gonna get the minutes in the playoffs, so we shall see. LeBron James, of course, year 21. What he's doing is nothing less than amazing. We've ran the way to explain this for him. I normally get on him about his defense and how his energy kind of impacts the team. Hopefully that'll change. Hopefully get Vando back. You know, D-Lo and his energy and AD being Mr. Consistent and steady. Maybe now, you know, other guys will just, you know, bring their own lunch to work and go to work, you know, and don't have to make LeBron be the, you know, the battery in your back. And I feel like it's not fair for him to have to do that all the time. But we just hope he's now locked in to seeing, okay, we have to win this amount of games to get to where we want to get. And this is the goal. So I know LeBron's probably looking at the record and looking at the games left and saying, okay, we know what we got to get to. And now we know, you know, the path we must take. Jackson Hayes. Jackson Hayes, at the beginning of the season, really got on my nerves, you know, and it wasn't his fault all the way. It was mainly his fault for the fouling. But then I didn't like the way Darvin was using him. He never gave it the chance to work. So he just stopped playing him. But as of the last 3 weeks, Jackson Hayes has proven that he definitely can be a guy who can play, and he needs minutes to be an energy guy. And that's what we're encouraged to see. You know, we were not going to find a big to bang with Joker. We're not going to find it. It was nobody out there. Everybody said, we need to go get a big. We need to go get a big. Name somebody. If we didn't get Andre Drummond, I knew we was not going that route. But it's okay. We'll have to figure out another way, you know, because this team needed many different things. You know, shooting, you know, point of attack defense, scoring, a big, you know. Versatility, you know, so we needed a lot of things. You're not getting all that at the trade deadline or the buyout market, but we got something. Max Christie is next. Max, when he gets minutes, you know he's a little hurt right now, but I think he'll be back after the All-Star break. When Max gets minutes, he's that point of attack young guy who can sit down in a chair and play defense. And he's just, you know, if he gets beat, he gets beat. Sometimes he's young. He's like 21, I think, now. He finally turned 21. So, it's just, he's a guy it's good to have on your bench that you can, he started. A guy you can bring him in, play 15, 20 minutes. A guy who just needs 10 minutes. I don't know what his rotation will look like when everybody starts getting healthy. And I feel like him and Cam Reddish are probably the guys who will see less minutes if everybody comes. If Vando comes back, you'll see him and Cam get pushed back because of certain guys who are, you know, earned to be on the court. Rui Hachimura, who just had the game of his life scoring wise, and he's a key X factor for us. He's one of the, you know, it's weird when a team have multiple X factors. D'Lo, Rui, these guys are big. These are X factors. And if Rui can, and now in the starting lineup, he can continue to give us that bully versatility that he has on the offensive end, it's an amazing thing to account for. So I'm loving what I see from him. You know, now he's getting his footing. He looks as healthy as he's ever going to be. Hopefully his injury, you know, bug has gotten and leaving him alone. He's gotten away from him, and we can continue to see him play at high levels, not necessarily scoring 30, but we just know he's going to be capable of going out there and really, really, like, we ran the offense through him at the early going of the Detroit game, Detroit Pistons game. You're thinking, oh, it's the Pistons, but he had the mismatch, and they just threw it to him and let him go to work on the block, on back cuts. He's a big guy, and he's finally playing just like that. All right, Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish is a guy who I think has earned the respect of a lot of fans with his defense. His offense, you know, I think with Rui and these other guys playing well, is a breath of fresh air, because Cam really struggled to hold on to the basketball at times. So, you know, but I will say we're going to need a guy like him who's shown us defensively that he can definitely play in this league. So I feel like that's another piece you need when you have to, you know, if Vando doesn't come back, or Vando's in foul trouble, or you need a guy to guard, you know, who has length to guard, you know, point of attack style, you have Cam. I love what he brings. He's definitely like in that Jared Vanderbilt, you know, Vando type of ilk, if I say that correctly. And going to Vando, please come back healthy, baby. Come on, we need you. This is like, he's not even the X factor. He's the glue. Okay, he's the guy we need. We need him to be healthy. We need him if we want to get to where we want to go. And Anthony Davis is going to need Vando to help him kind of really put the battery in the back of the defense. Okay. And Vando was doing some good things offensively before he went down. Like I've been saying, he was scoring double digits. He was getting to the rim. He's getting to the free throw line. Hit a couple threes. We just got to find out. Evaluation's coming after the All-Star break. Hopefully, just see. We probably won't see him for a while. But if we're getting Cam back, if we're getting Max Christie back, we'll have some guys who can throw in there. We'll just go through both of these together. Maxwell Lewis hasn't played enough. You know, young guy, incomplete. I enjoy watching him in the summer league. Jalen Hood-Schifino, he's not ready to be a main roster guy yet. I mean, he's young. He gets torched. Cam Whitmore, who we picked, who we didn't pick, and we kind of skipped over him and got this guy. We played against Houston, and Cam had, you know, a big game. When he scored like 12 straight, and you look over to our bench and you see Hood-Schifino just sitting there, you know, and everybody's gonna always compare him with all the guys who were drafted behind him, and that's just unfair. But I say incomplete. I'm not really judging JHS. Skylar Mays and Colin Castleton and Dylan Windler, those are the two-way guys. You know, two-way guys. Okay, we get it. That nothing much to say about them. Colin Castleton, if we didn't get Spencer Dinwiddie, I feel like he might have been moved up to the main roster, or maybe Joe Harris. I don't know, but he would probably be the only other guy who we would throw up there, and then we would have these massive bigs. I don't think that would be a good look. So I'm kind of glad Spencer came up. But before we get to Spencer, Gabe Vincent, another guy who has not played this year. And if he was to get a good evaluation, was able to come back and give us something, then you would have a guy who is playoff ready and savvy. And if he were to come back and maybe be healthy, there's kind of like adding something like a free agent, because he hasn't played. We haven't used him, you know. It would be like you're adding something, you know. But if he doesn't come back, this is where this man Spencer Dinwiddie comes into play. Shot creation, a different level of athleticism than AR and D'Lo. Another passer who you already seen. He had 11 assists in two games. This is the last game as Utah. He only shot a handful of times, got 10 points. He has that sidestep three he can do. He got to the rack and just nice touch around the rim. So I'm excited to see what Spencer's going to bring to this team once we, you know, really get him incorporated. So let's see what happens with him. Let's give him like 10 games and let's see where he's at. Are we like feeling it, or are we just kind of like, oh, well, he's a piece. He gives us a little bit. Or are we really saying, yo, we got to steal for the rest of the year? The best buyout player by far. That's what I like to say about this team. Let's enjoy the All-Star break. Let's pray no one gets hurt during the All-Star break. In any event, especially the game, LeBron and AD do not play long in the All-Star game. Y'all guys, you know, just shoot threes. AD, just wave at the people. Don't even dress out. I appreciate you guys tuning in. This is a longer episode you're ever going to get from me, I guess. Thank you. We'll see you guys after the All-Star break.